Amen. Thank you for that prayer. Heartfelt. I love the kingdom of God. I love the kingdom. I really do. I love doing God's work. And I don't mean just behind a pulpit. I mean living for Him every day of your life. Putting others first. Pastor Ray taught on his Sunday school about love. That's love. That's love is what you do outside of this building. Love people. Amen. That got me emotional. Amen. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8 through 17 is our text. I titled this sermon, Living in the Cesspool. Living in the Cesspool. And some people would say, what's a cesspool? Sort of like a septic tank, right? A septic tank of life. You may think, well, geez, that's just a gross thought. And I want you to know we're not so far away from that thought. Much of our society is a cesspool. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8 through 17. It says, for that righteous man dwelling among them, talking about Lot, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They're presumptuous, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them, accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. But they have forsaken the way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of that prophet. These are wells without water and clouds carried by a tempest, from whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Father God, I'm so grateful for your word. So thankful for the Spirit of God that I feel so powerfully moving in this place. The Spirit of love, the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of compassion. Father, my words are powerless, but your word is anointed. I pray the Spirit of God would take my words and would anoint them to become your words, so that they would change our lives, transform us by the Spirit of God, make us into the image of Christ better than ever before. Lord, may this sermon not be one that we receive, Lord, out of condemnation, but conviction, drawing us to Christ, Father. So I thank you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The righteous are tormented by ungodly behavior. That's where we live. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't see that today. They don't see the wickedness of the world and how the wickedness of the world has literally came into the church. And it's changed how we think. It's changed. Now, I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about us, Christians, God's people. This ungodliness has changed the way we think, the way we act, and the way we speak And you may not see that, but this man over here that pastored almost 60 years of his life, the church is different than it was 60 years ago, is it not, brother? Not necessarily all evil, not all bad. There's some great changes that's come about. But there are things that the church does today that we would not have done 60 years ago. We wouldn't have done 20 years ago. Why? Because we've been influenced by this world. You know, the Bible says that he has to shorten the days because the very elect will be deceived in the last time, in the last days. Guys, I want you to know that's happening today. I am not so concerned with the world and the life they're living as much as I'm concerned with the people in that church house, the life that we're living. Are we living a godly life? Or have we been poisoned? The Bible says that that righteous man Lot, his soul was poisoned because of where he was living. Now the first verse I have on here is 1 Corinthians 15:33. He says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good character. Now, my mama didn't quote a lot of verses growing up, but she quoted a lot of sayings. And she'd say something like this, birds of a feather flock together. You guys ever heard that? Your mama and daddy have said the very same thing to you, haven't they? Now, I want you guys to know, LaToya and Jason, Pastor Ray, we've all talked about you considerably. And we, and this church will agree with everything I'm getting ready to say. You are very, very different. You're a different group. And the difference is that you genuinely love Jesus. And you genuinely want to serve him. And this church sees that. So the things that we preach to you, we're not like trying to hammer you. We're trying to protect you. Does that make sense? Because there is a purity among this group. I'm right, ain't I, Brother Denny? There's a purity and there's a preciousness over you guys. And you can go to a lot of different churches and you can find groups that are bigger than you. But I don't think you'll find a group like you anywhere. I mean that with all my heart. I so appreciate what we've got going on. I appreciate these people that are pouring their lives into you besides mama and daddy. You know, they've come along to help you. But I included this verse for you. Because I want you to know from your pastor's heart, and I am your pastor, not just your mom and dad's pastor. I'm your pastor. It matters who you run with. It matters who you go out with. It matters who you date. And I know a lot of you guys are good-looking kids. And I mean that. You're good-looking kids. You're going to have opportunity to date. I wish I could just say, don't do it. There's a better way to get hitched. It'll come later. But it matters who you hang out with. Guys, it matters to you too. We're not above that. We're still in that. It matters who your best friends is. Now, I think the church ought to have unsaved Christian, that's an oxymoron, unsaved friends, right? I think we ought to know people that have drug problems and alcohol problems, but they ought not be your best friend. You ought to use it so you can build a relationship, so you can help change their life. But you be careful, I'm going to use this loosely, getting in bed with somebody, and I don't mean literally getting in bed with them. You better be careful of that too. But joining, you know, the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked together. And every one of us, when we read that, all we think about is marriage. It's more than marriage. It's who you're hanging out with. Don't be unequally yoked. Our men's group, the verse that we use from Proverbs 17:17, right? Iron sharpens iron. You see, when these men get together, we're going to come up. The level of goodness, the level of righteousness ought to come up. But there's some, have you ever hung around somebody and you didn't do anything wrong, but the end of the evening, all you wanted to do was take a bath because you felt contaminated? Been there, done that. I've worked with people like that before. Couldn't speak a sentence without using GD or some kind of awful language. I'm going to tell you, something penetrates your heart when you have to deal with that day in and day out. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, come out from among them and be separate. I have read that verse all my life, and I've always thought, how do you do that? Because I got to work. I haven't been a long-term pastor. I haven't pastored. I haven't been able to come to the church all my life. It's just been the last few months that this has been, and I tell you, I love it. But most of my life, I've been right out there with them. Right out there with the world, living among them. But I'm going to tell you, you can live among them, you can work around, and you can still come out from among them. You do not have to let them into your heart. What happened? The Bible says when Abraham and Lot came together, that they were getting too big for the land. The land could not support all of what they had. So Abraham, being the man of faith, he gave the opportunity to Lot, the nephew. And he says, you choose which side you'll take, your men and your camels and your stuff. You take one side and I'll go to the other. The Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw that this over here was good looking land. Oh, it was well watered and it was the right natural choice. How many of us have made the right natural choice to find out we got in hot water? And he said, well, I'll take that. The Bible says he pitched his tent. Listen to this. He pitched his tent in Genesis chapter 13 towards Sodom. See, something happened because the next thing you know, four kings come together and they capture Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot is in there with them. So he pitched his tent towards it. But the next thing we know and the next thing we see is Lot is part of Sodom. Later on, it talks about him being a keeper of the gate, which the judges set at the gate. It was like a judicial system. So we see that Lot integrated his life with this city. And this city was a wicked city. And the Bible says that that righteous man, his soul was poisoned. His soul, another word, his soul was vexed. Another word, his soul was tormented. His righteous soul was tormented. I don't know if you've ever been there. Gary Vine, I bet you have. Where you're righteous, but where you're living, your soul is being tormented day by day because of the manner of which people are living around you. The Bible says that he knows, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about temptation. What is it and what is it not? I want you to know right off the bat that temptation moves you towards sin and away from God. Repentance moves you away from sin and towards God. So temptation, you might say, is the exact opposite of repentance. Temptation is something that's trying to entice you. Temptation is not sin. It's not sin to be tempted. Every one of you is going to be tempted to sin, but it's not sin. Jesus was tempted. The Bible says he was tempted in all manners, just like us. So if you have lustful temptation, so did he. He just didn't yield. James chapter 1, verse 12 through 17. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to him, to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth or brings forth death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Jesus is not in the temptation business. He's not tempting you to sin. He cannot tempt you to sin. The Bible says when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, you should pray this, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. We're all tempted. Every one of us are tempted. You might be tempted to say wrong things. You might be tempted to steal. You might be tempted to cheat. You might be tempted sexually to live a life that's not the life that God wants you to live. There's all different kinds of temptation. You heard the joke about the three pastors that went out fishing. They got real comfortable in each other's presence, and they started confessing their sins to each other. And the first pastor said, man, he said, I just want you guys to know, he said, I have a real problem with alcohol. And he said, I've been drinking at church. He said, I got a fifth whiskey in my desk drawer. And he said, I just can't help it, but I've been sipping on it. And the next pastor said, well, he said, since we're confessing our sins, he said, I got a problem with money. And he said, I've been dipping into the offering. And he said, I've been stealing from the church. And the third guy was just silent. And they said, now, brother, we're confessing. You need to confess your sins too. And he said, all right. He said, I've got a problem with gossip, and I can't wait to get back to town. You better know who you're confessing to. We all have things that we have to be very careful with in our life. And I want to go a little bit further on this. Most Christians will have a reoccurring sin in their life. Something that they fall prey to all the time. I mean, it just happens. That's my weak spot. And you need to find that. You need to isolate that. You need to be real cautious with that. Because see, to me, temptation is birth in desire. It's me. It's the old man, what he desires. That's what Satan doesn't tempt me with drugs. I've never taken drugs in my life. That's not a temptation. But I have other things that he tempts me with. And I'm not telling you what they are. Get your pencils. You know, the Lord says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he says, no temptation has overtaken you except that it's common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape so that you'll be able to bear it. You know, there's been times in my life when it felt like my head was going to blow off with temptation. Trying to do right. You felt that struggle before? I want to do right. I want to do right. And man, I mean, I'm telling you, that pressure can build up. It can get wild in your life. He says, I'll make a way of escape. You need to look for that way of escape. You need to take that way of escape when you find it. You see, because the church has a sin problem. And if God's saying, I'll make a way of escape, but the church has a sin problem, what's the problem? We ain't taking it. Why? Because we still like sin. Bottom line, we still enjoy it too much. Sin brings forth death. It will kill you. See, Satan will tell you nobody will find out. You can do this and nobody will ever know. And you know what he does? He will get you hooked and then he'll expose you. He will. He will expose you. The old guy's a liar. Don't believe anything that tempter tells you. He's just a liar. And then you got a problem. Before long, that sin is not just a sin, but it's a stronghold. It's not just the things that I've dabbled in and I've enjoyed, but I can't get away from it now. I need it to go on. I have to do that. It's like my salvation. I just cannot get away from it. Guys, it's a stronghold. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing stronger than God. So you can get rid of it. Maybe I'm preaching this sermon a little late for you. Maybe you're already hooked. And I want to let you know today, there's nothing that Christ cannot unhook for you. There's no stronghold that He cannot break in your life. And you may say, well, yeah, but Eric, you don't understand. I did it. That's the way with all of us. It's all our fault. Satan didn't make me do it. Jesus didn't lead me to do it. Eric did it. Oh, there's some bad things that we get. There's some, you know, last week we talked, mentioned a few things. There's people, every time you speak in a crowd, there are ladies that's had abortion in your mix. And that is one of those things that you'll probably take to your grave with you because it's very serious. But I want you to know, it's not greater than God's forgiveness. God can forgive you. There's a man in Nashville who's a pastor of a very large church that when he was 18 years old, he cut a lady's head off. He killed her. You don't live without your head. Killed her. He got saved in prison. That's grace. You see, what you have done is not so great that God cannot forgive you. God can forgive you. God wants to restore your life, and He wants to give you a hope and a future. I think it's real easy sometimes to get into these sermons and just feel condemnation. And I don't want that. I don't want that today at all. I want you to remember that this original thought of what he is writing here is about false teachers coming in. So I've included this verse in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. He says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, and you're complete in Him who is the head of all principalities and powers." Don't buy the lie of the world. You are complete in Jesus Christ. He can take your failure and make something beautiful out of it. And everybody here that serves Him says, "Thank you, God." Because every one of us had messed up our lives. I want you to know there's hope. But don't buy into the philosophy that the world is dealing out. You see, there's no hope in the bottle. You're not going to find the solution to life in a pill or in a bottle. You are not going to find happiness with another woman. You're just not. It's not true. It's not true, guys. You hear how quiet this is? Why? Because the world has convinced us that if I'm not happy with the one I got, I need to ditch the one I got and go for another one. It's just not true. It's not true. It's empty, vain philosophy. You say, "But I don't think I got my soulmate." Do you have a ring on your finger? Then let me introduce you to your soulmate. Maybe it wasn't God's will, but when that ring comes on that finger, it is God's will. Because you are in a covenant relationship now. You do everything in your power to stay with that person. Now, if this church is average, probably 50% of you have already been divorced. And when I preach a sermon like that, or when I make a thought like that, you can't hear but anything but condemnation. And that's not meant condemnatory. It's meant to say, you got a ring on your finger now. The past is the past. You can't change what's been done. You can change what you're doing today. You go today and you make your life pleasing unto God. Divorcees, it's not the end of the road. And it's not the unforgivable sin. And I'm sorry that we preached it that way in the church. God has forgiven you. You know what we need to do now? We just need to teach you to forgive yourself. Go on. Become what God wants you to become. If God won't use the divorcees, He just shortened the list by about 50%. I don't know. If I was a businessman or if I was God, I don't think I'd shorten my list by 50%. Right? I'd want my market to be large. Say, now you're just getting off, Eric. Well, go with me for a minute. It doesn't make sense, guys. It's not unforgivable. My mother was divorced, and she thought that she could not be spirit-filled because she was divorced. Now, you show me Scripture where she got that. She didn't get that from Scripture. She got that from the lie of the devil that he whispered in her ear. I would sit in the pew next to her and see the Spirit of God all over her and know that there was tongues there ready to just come out. And she wouldn't do it because she just didn't feel worthy. I ain't worthy, and you're not either. There's not a worthy person in here. It's a gift. His righteousness is a gift because He knows we blow it. And let me just tell you, it doesn't start when you're 40. It starts when you're young. Oh, we can make big messes out of our life. You know, people start doing drugs when they're 10, 11, 12. And by the time they're your age, they're hooked. They're stealing from mom and dad to buy what they need. You see why I think you're pretty precious? God knows how to reserve the unjust for the day of judgment. He ain't talking about us. He's talking about the unjust. You've been justified. God doesn't want you to be at that judgment day. There's another judgment day coming for us. It's a judgment day of rewards. But this scripture here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now, when I read this, Christians, they get this, their spine starts to crawl. You know, because of the way it's been preached. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 says, the works of the flesh are evident. We know what they are, don't we? They're adultery. They're fornication. That means sexual sins other than adultery, sexual sins. Uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. So glad we don't have sorcery. That's why I broke that down. Sorcery is witchcraft from the word of pharmakia. You know what that is? It's drug use. You know, when you do drugs, you're inviting Satan into your heart. You're saying, hey, I'm opening the door. Evil spirits will follow. Do you know that we call alcohol spirits? And yet, I don't want to just guess at a percentage, but do you know how many Christians think it's all right to drink? I'm sorry. You're never going to get this preacher to say that. I don't see anything good about it at all. There's hatred, there's contention, there's jealousy, there's outbursts of wrath. What are we talking about? We're talking about the works of the flesh. Outbursts of wrath. There's selfish ambition. There's dissensions and heresies. There's envy and there's murder and there's drunkenness. There's revelries and the like. And can I just tell you, I'm in that list. I'm in that list. And you are too. As we read that list, and that's what bothers us. Because we see works of the flesh are evident. And we read down that list and say, I've done that. I've been there. I know you've done it. I know you've been there. But that's not who you are. Do you understand this? This is a powerful point. It's not who you are. That's why I read that verse in Colossians. Because the verse in Colossians said, I'm complete in Him. You see, I may see some of my old self in there, but that's not me. And it's not you. You're not that person anymore. I wish that we could just shake it. I wish that once and for all we would say, that's not me. I'm not that person any longer. Because he goes on in the same chapter, verse 22, and he talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and the like. And against such there is no law. And you know what? I find myself a whole lot more in verse 22 than I do in verse 19. Because I've been walking with Jesus for about 40 years now. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus for 6 months. And you say, Eric, I still see a lot of me in this one. You keep walking with Him. You keep walking with Him. And He's going to keep stripping those old things out of your life. We are complete in Him. But here's my challenge today. Wake up. Let's wake up. We do have some personal responsibility here. Let's wake up and know that when temptation comes knocking at your door, you don't have to bite. You don't have to bite. You see, God doesn't want you to be at that judgment day. God wants you to be at another judgment day where He's handing out rewards. That judgment day that He's talking about is a bad judgment. Everybody at that judgment day gets cast into hell. That ain't who we are, guys. Are you following this sermon? That ain't who we are. See, I said the sermon was living in the cesspool. See, we may be living in the cesspool, but we ain't part of the cesspool. We are not part of this world. We're separate. Come out from among the world and be separate. Don't yield to temptation. We can overcome. He goes on in this chapter and he begins to give characteristics of the ungodly. And I wanted to include these because I wanted you to see, that ain't me. That's not me anymore. Characteristics of the ungodly, they despise authority. That's not the church. We don't despise authority. We've got authority that comes to this church, sometimes in uniform. Tony Elkins is as highly respected a man in this congregation as anybody. And there may be people in this church that Tony has arrested at times. I don't know. Tony's too much of a man of grace to even tell me those things. But maybe that's who you was, not who you are. See, these ungodly, they despise authority. They're presumptuous. In other words, I had to look that word up. Failing to observe the limits or what is permitted. In other words, you ever work with somebody like this? Rules don't apply to me. See, this business has rules for you, but not for me. Don't you love working with people like that? Hey, lunch is an hour. Oh, that's your lunch. My lunch is whenever I get back. No. That's presumptuous. They're self-willed. I want my way or the highway. The true servant of God prefers others. Say, well, I'm not there yet, but you keep going. The longer you walk with Jesus, the more people will be important to you. They speak against dignitaries. From the church house to the White House. It doesn't matter. And guys, this is where I think the church needs to be careful. We need to be careful what we speak against our people in authority. The Bible says the hearts of the kings is in God's hands. It doesn't mean that you're going to agree with everything that comes out of the White House. I'm not going to agree with it, but we can pray for him. They carouse in the daylight. What's that mean? Most of the time when you see talk about sin, sin is always connected with darkness. Most people do their sin. Remember mama telling you, ain't nothing good that happens after 12 o'clock. Now you be home by 12, right? I think every parent has said that. I had 11:30 curfew. My oldest son, he come home 11:45. He found himself locked out. And I told him through the door, I don't open my door after 11:30. And he thought I was teasing. I was going to let him stay all night out on the porch. But I have a wife that's full of grace and mercy. She, you can't let my baby lay out there. I let him stay out there long enough. Then I opened the door and I said, don't push me on this again. Next time, today you got mercy because of your mama. Next time, there'll be no mercy. Why do we do that? Because we know that darkness and sin goes together. Bad things happen late at night. But this scripture says they carouse in the daylight. You know what that means? I have no shame. I don't care what people think. I will go out with your wife in a heartbeat, and I don't care who sees me. You understand that? I will do my sin in the daylight, and I don't care. It just elevated quite a bit, if you didn't understand that. They carouse in the daylight. Who we're talking about this darkness. Understand? I'm hoping by this time you're saying, I don't understand those people. Thank you. I am glad you don't understand these people. Their eyes are full of adultery. Who can I sleep with? Who will make me happy? They don't care about you. They want something from you. Can't stop their lifestyle of sin. They entice others to engage in their practice. Their idol is the love of money. It says they go the way of Balaam. Balaam was a prophet of God who was hired by the enemy to prophesy against Israel. And every time he would open up his mouth, all he would do is prophesy for Israel. But he was evil because he had this love of money. He says, I'm sorry, I can't. They hired him 3 times and he couldn't do it. God would not allow him to speak a curse against his people. He says, but I can tell you how it can happen. I can tell you how to make them fall. And he did. And they did. And Balaam is driving down the road one day and his donkey stops. And he hits his donkey and he says, come on, what are you doing? And then the donkey knocks him off and just stops. Why? Because the donkey had more insight than he did. The donkey looked up and saw the angel of God with his sword drawn. But Balaam was blind because of the life he was living. The prophet of God. And Balaam began to beat the donkey. Come on, you stupid donkey. And the donkey begins to talk to him. Balaam, have I ever mistreated you? This is Bible. And the donkey began to talk to Balaam, and Balaam began to talk to the donkey. Well, no, you really haven't. I'm not. I shouldn't. You mind being my donkey today? That might get me in trouble. You really have been a pretty good donkey, but I don't understand why you won't go forward. Something's wrong when you start talking with animals. And they're talking back. Something's just a little off. They go the way of Balaam. The love of money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's in the church. And it's out of the church. Get it out of your heart. They may look like they have everything together. But the truth of the matter is they're hopeless. They have no hope. They are a facade. And that's why we need to share Jesus with them. We need to tell people that are living like that, there's a better way. Come out of that cesspool. Come to church with me. You know, you remember the old saying, it takes a village to raise a child? There's a lot of truth to that. We all live in community. Who are you fellowshipping more with? Some of you I see once a month. Some of you I see twice a month. Some of you I see every time the doors are open. We're not just here on Sunday mornings. We're here on Wednesday nights. And we're here on Saturday nights. And we have connect groups. And we have a ministry called Flourish for the ladies. And we have a ministry called Men of Acts for the men. Why are we doing that? Is it because I think we need to be busier? Are you crazy? I don't think any of us need to be busier. But I want to see you live in the community of faith more than you're living in the community of this world. And that's the only reason I do this. It's the only reason. But I can't make you. I can't make you attend these other services. I can't even make you attend this service. I'm thankful. I'm not preaching condemnation, because if I only get to preach to you one time a month, I'm thankful to God for that one time a month. But I know, I hate to say this, but I know if I'm only seeing you one time a month, twice a month, you're losing the battle. Because they got more of your heart than the church does, than God does. I'm going to tell you, rarely will you hear the Lord speak in this world. You'll hear the voice of the Lord in church. And you'll feel His Spirit. He is here. Every time we get together, He is here. You need to make sure that you're part of the community of faith. And if you don't have great faith that this is church is part of the community of faith, then find someplace else. I bless you on the way. I'm serious. I want you. If there's another church that you say, I'd be faithful to that church, bless you. Unless they're not preaching Jesus Christ crucified, then I will not bless you going out. But I want you to attend and be faithful. Be a part. Be connected. Your best friends ought to be here. The people that you allow to speak into your life need to be people of mature faith. Not people around the water fountain at work. I'm going to tell you, there are men who live at the water fountain at work waiting to hear a woman talk about her husband. I've seen this happen so much. And then they swoop in and they say, man, if I had a woman like you, I'd treat her with more respect than your husband treats you. And they start telling her things that she wants to hear from her husband, but she's not hearing them from her husband. He's on the hunt. Some men are like dogs. They get their nose in the air. They're sniffing the wind. You mean nothing to them other than a piece of meat. That's just about as blunt as I can get it. Stay pure. Stay pure. Whether you're married or unmarried, stay pure. Stay faithful. And then you'll live a life like this little lady back here who buried her husband about a year ago. And it still pains her. For me to even mention husbands in service pains her, and I know it does. But you know why? Because she had a good husband. She had a good life with that husband. And she misses him dearly. And I respect that so much. And I just want to say, you're going to see him again. You'll see him again. The pain will leave because you'll be reunited. Guys, if I am right, we are so close to the time that Jesus is coming again. We need to make sure our lives are clean. Make sure you're not yielding to temptation. Don't get caught when the trumpet sounds in the wrong bedroom. Stand with me. With your eyes closed, your head bowed, I know that some of you, as we begin to read those works of the flesh, you saw yourself in it. And it scared you. So, it's possible that there may be somebody here today that says, you know, as you read that list, I really begin to wonder about my salvation. And if that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation so that you can be sure that you are saved. I want Jesus to do a genuine work in your heart of salvation today. Is there anyone here with an uplifted hand that say, Eric, I need to be sure about my salvation? Then the second thing is, and I really didn't expect that I'd have any hands on that. The second thing is then, are you overcoming temptation? Are you overcoming, or are you yielding? You see, you can be saved and still be yielding to temptation. You can be saved and still find that you're doing some very wrong things. And reality is, this whole sermon was for you. See, the Lord wants something better for you. And I will tell you, the more you come out of that sinful situation, the happier you will be. You may not understand that. You may not fully even believe that. But I promise you, when you come out of that sin, when you break loose of those addictions, you'll be happier than you've ever been in your life. Because for the first time, you'll experience truly the joy of Jesus and the peace of God. If you're here today and say, Eric, pray for me because I've been yielding to more temptation than I've been looking for the way of escape. Any hands? A little rough on you? Amen. Thank you for your honesty. I know this is hard. Amen. I see your hand. This is hard. I'm asking for brutal honesty. Amen. See your hand. They're coming up slowly. But I'm going to tell you, this is a message of the Holy Ghost. This is a message of the Holy Ghost. He's doing a purifying work at Bridge of Hope. This is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Anybody else with an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, remember to pray for me when you pray. I've been yielding. Anyone else? Amen. I see your hand. Brutal honesty. You'll not succeed until you're truthful to yourself. Amen. I see your hand. My Father God, I love and appreciate you so much. I thank you that your word is so clear to us. And the Spirit of God is so faithful to help us to overcome. Lord, a drug addict told me one time that until there's no desire there, you'll always be a drug addict. Until you lose your taste to it totally, you'll always have that desire. And today, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to free people from these desires and help them to be wise, to choose the way of escape, to not go down the way of the evil one, the tempter, but to recognize that every day is a day of choices. To live in the community of faith and not in the cesspool of life. Father, I know that this sermon has been pretty much in our face. It's been in my face too. And I pray that I have preached it in true love and true humility, because that's the way you wrote it. I pray, Lord, that people would leave encouraged in you and not defeated, and that there would be no condemnation but there would be encouragement to live godly. So Lord, I've done the best I can do, but I just pray the Spirit of God would seal that message in their hearts and would understand there's no judgment, but there's hope. And that hope, we've named Him and we call Him Jesus. Father, bless these people to live the abundant life, the life that's full of joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, and not to buy into the lie of the world. Father, for those of us that recognize that we have done some of those things, we've already asked for forgiveness, but Lord, every time it's mentioned, our heart hurts us a little bit. And I just pray, Lord, give us the strength to forgive ourselves and to know that we're complete in You and to find our full identity in the person of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You, Lord. May we be sealed by the Holy Ghost to live the abundant life. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor.